Well, morning everyone, and welcome to the second edition of the Fendrian Cast. This week, we've got plenty more cobbles to talk about. We've got plenty more races, definitely, to talk about, including Strada Bianchi. And obviously bits and pieces to look forward to, as the fact that Paris-Nice has started and Tirreno Adriatico is about to start. So, back to last week though, and just after the first show was recorded, we had the La Samine in Belgium. It was a strange combination of a Flemish and a Wallonian classic, insofar as it had some pretty bad cobbled sectors, and also some of those little Ardennes climbs that we know and love. It was run off in hostile weather conditions, which obviously meant that someone from the Low Countries was likely to win, and that was the case. Nicky Terpstra, former Paris-Roubaix champion and a stalwart of the Etics team, delivering the result alone breakaway from group. It was a pretty good ride. His data, the pro cycling data Twitter feed, and it works. I don't know how it works out, to be honest. It's all a little bit complicated for my tiny little brain, but it basically inferred that the Terpstra had averaged well over 400 watts for that final 20-minute burst. The good news, from a jingoistic perspective, was that the rider chasing him down was Yorkshireman Scott Thwaites, who people from this part of the world will remember from his Tour Series days. And it was interesting to see, in all of the recent classics, riders that we will have seen in the Peterborough Tour Series getting into breaks. So Yanto Barker in Kerner Brussels Kerner, and we had Christian House, it was, in Omloop Het Nieuwsblad. And Zach Dempster was away also in a breakaway. So it was good. It was good for Scott Thwaites. It looked at one point that he might be able to get Terpstra back. The last couple of sections of cobbles though looked really, really brutal, and they were kind of ankle deep in mud. And okay, so aesthetically, it wasn't the Paris-Roubaix cobbles or the old Quaremont with the scenic houses and stuff. It was kind of run off between a police station and an industrial estate, I read on Bike Radar. But the cobbles looked pretty brutal, and the race itself looked really, really hard. And whilst Terpstra obviously deserves massive raps for winning, I think probably the hero of the day would be Thwaites, whose power data wasn't that far behind. He was just a few watts away from getting on terms with Terpstra. But that 15-20 second gap stayed, and he couldn't close it down. It actually set up the weekend perfectly for the Strada Bianchi, and well, I think maybe one or two people had looked at this swan song tour of Fabian Cancellara and Tom Boonen, their last season of going round the classics. Maybe looked at it as kind of almost like an opportunity just to go and say goodbye and pat a few, high five a few people and stuff like that. Cancellara sort of put the lie to that pretty quickly on Saturday in the Strada. It was a pretty epic race. I've watched it a couple of times, but this was the first time I've maybe sort of actually dedicated the time to watch the last 50Ks or so. Gianluca Brambilla of Etics was away with Zdeněk Stybar and Peter Sagan, along with Cancellara. The group behind were never more than like 10, 12 seconds away from getting back on terms. But they never could quite make it, despite there being the likes of Greg Van Avermaet, already a winner, obviously, this season. Sky had got Lars Petter Nordhaug in that group, and Kwiatkowski just behind. Vincenzo Nibali, because of the hilly nature of the race, he was in there. But they never quite got on terms, and Brambilla just kept dangling and dangling off the front and attacking and softening them up. Maybe in anticipation of Peter Sagan's finishing ability to soften them up. Maybe the fact that Cancellara had won it twice previously and had won a Tour of Flanders in a sprint. So there seemed to be a little element of paranoia in the quick step tactics, shall we say. And although it looked the Brambilla well inside the last kilometre had it as they went past the expensive jewellery shops on the cobbled streets of Siena. But Cancellara unleashed a pretty spectacular finish. If you've not seen it on YouTube, I recommend that you hunt it down, because it was a proper aggressive attack. Zdeněk Stybar was able to go with him. He certainly didn't contribute to the chase down, because obviously he had a leader on the road, a teammate in Brambilla away. But once Cancellara got into that last corner and the downhill finish, at first, he was always going to hold on. And it was a pretty epic finish. So it set up the weekend's racing perfectly. And then we moved on to Paris-Nice, the race to the sun. And having been out on Sunday and done quite a lengthy ride myself, there was a bit of sun, but there was also a hell of a lot of cold. And it was a time trial, a lovely scenic time trial in the Parisian suburbs, just northwest of the capital of France. Lovely barges, big rivers, waterfronts. They certainly know how to put on a show, the French, when it comes to a bike race, and it certainly shows off their part of the world in great and wonderful detail. So really, really good race. Michael Matthews, the surprise winner of the time trial, beating Tom Dumoulin, the unbeatable one, as the commentary team seemed to say. And then we moved on to yesterday's stage, Monday, which was another sort of epic insofar as a Strada Bianchi copy in terms of dirt roads and almost gravel roads, steep hills around that central part as they head down into France. And a good stage, and a friend of the Fendrians, Arnaud Demar, was the winner. We love Arnaud Demar, mainly because he's a sprinter that can win stage races. He's won the 4 days of Dunkirk, a windy Fendrian type event with lots of cold, even though it's in May time, lots of cold, lots of rain, lots of strong winds off the English Channel. So we like Arnaud Demar, so we're very pleased that he won the race. Coming up for the rest of the week, until we next meet, we've got more stages of Paris-Nice. Starts to get a bit lumpier, and as the weather gets a bit warmer, we might start to lose a bit of interest because it might be proper bike racing rather than, you know, off-roady, cobbly, windy, rainy type stuff. They might see some actual heat. And of course, Tirreno Adriatico, the race of two seas, which will start off. Quite a lot of Grand Tour contenders in that one as well, looking to hone their form. Another race that's kind of been characterised by the weather. In recent years, we've had snow. We've also had a sort of 25% gradient finish, which has seen a lot of riders walk. So that'll be interesting if that particular element is back in the race this year. So we shall see how it goes. We're obviously getting nearer and nearer the Flemish Classics. In exciting news, we will be reporting from one of the Flemish Classics this year. We will be there, and we'll tell you more about that as we get nearer the time. So, only remains for me to say, have a cracking week. Enjoy your miles. Enjoy your cycling, and be Fendrian, as we like to say. Finally, if you can get in touch with us, please do via our Facebook page, which if you search Fendrian EU on Facebook and at Fendrian EU on Twitter, we'd be happy to have a chat, bit of feedback, maybe even start to consider getting some guests on the show, and it could be you. So thanks a lot, have a good week, and yes, not quite 5 minutes this week, but plenty to talk about. Thanks, and bye-bye.